the button.
Wait, I want to know what Rebecca was going to say.
What? I wanted to see the baby.
Oh, the baby. Are you talking about the cat?
No. Oh, Cassandra? What?
No.
Oh, a real baby?
Yeah.
Well, hang on, people. There's a baby in play.
Yeah, I was like, I was teased last time that I didn't make it to the show before it went live.
Nope, no baby.
So I couldn't
today.
See the baby.
Well, Rebecca, look here. You can have this cat. That's for you. She's not a baby. She's like 12. But hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Spilling Ink Live, your favorite on the Spilling Ink channel. Because I realize now, after my error a couple weeks ago, that we all have different favorites when it comes to indie talk shows. You know, so I can't even get into that. And there's this one guy who has a show that I enjoy. I can never remember his name, though, so I won't mention him by name.
You know what? He's actually got the bar going tonight, and I'm going to hang out at the bar. I don't know about you, but I'm going to go hang out at the bar.
What? You're ditching me for the bar?
After the show's over.
Oh, all right. Well, we should have gotten a bar going tonight, man.
That was last night.
Saturday night. Come on. Well, so we've got some fantastic people here tonight, but you guys can already see that. We've got Paul, we've got Jacob, we've got Rebecca, we've got Katie, we've got Leah the cat.
Meow!
Aw, pretty cute.
So, Rebecca was in the middle.
We're about to have a dog, too.
We're about to have a dog, too? Fantastic. Hey, Leah does not care for dogs. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Oh, there he is. Aww. This is how big my dog is, you guys.
He looks kind of large.
This is my kind of,
is that a Pyrenees or what is he?
Not really sure. What are little man?
Oh,
he says he's a puppy.
He's cute.
He is a lovey pup. He is half pit and half, we thought, Catalan leopard dog.
Ooh, that's
he's
fun.
He's got the super wide ridge. Yeah, the ridgeback takes up almost the majority of his back. He also has ice blue eyes. They are gorgeous. And he has Merlin. So he actually has eyeliner, super thick, on one eye.
Sweet.
It looks completely ridiculous.
We just had a cat in the clinic the other day. It was a female cat whose name is Half Stash. Because she has a dark black mustache on one side of her lip. It was pretty hilarious.
That's awesome.
Somebody was just complaining about our live feed because the audio is way behind. I don't know. You guys that are watching now, are we lining up pretty well or are we all janky? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Hey, Artie Cabrera's here?
Tell us, Julia.
Wow. Artie, I didn't realize you had a computer now. That's awesome, man. Sweet. It's good to see all of you. Okay, so guys, Rebecca was just about to explain her fancy murder map that's hanging up behind her. So, Rebecca, take it away and tell us all about your map.
I thought I was explaining what cryptids were.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, we can go with that first and then get
it. Okay, so on the map behind me, outlined in purple, are sites of different cryptids in the United States. A cryptid is from the cryptozoology. Those are things like the Nessie, Jersey Devil. Turns out the United States actually has about 6 or 7 Loch Ness Monster type monsters. Like there's one in each of the Great Lakes. So Jason, watch out.
Nice.
Almost all of them have silly names like Nessie or Bessie and Lessie and Desi. And then I think there's like Bob.
I want to run into Bob. Did you know? So speaking of cryptids, we just had a dog in the other day who was actually a cryptorchid. Do you know what that is? Nobody?
No.
It's when one testicle doesn't descend and it's stuck up inside them. So you have to go get it surgically. Yeah.
Well, that's no fun.
Yeah, they say every state has at least 10,000 of them.
I think I dated a guy like that.
Nice. Did it affect his personality at all?
Oh, well. Yeah. That's it. I'm gonna say that's kind of how I figured it out. Yeah.
I don't know to start the show tonight.
Well, so Artie, I've been trying to convince you to come on the show and hang out for what, a year and a half now, and you keep telling me that you don't have a webcam. Do you have a webcam now? Artie, you had that problem too? Artie was a crypt orchid. So guys, Artie Cabrera, he writes stuff, but more importantly, he does graphic work for me every now and again. In fact, he's the one that designed the cover for Flutter of Darkness, Rebecca. It's this Artie Cabrera character right here.
Nice. Well done.
Yeah.
I like that.
You should see his, I scroll through his pictures now and again because I love creeping on people. He kind of looks like a Taylor Lautner a little bit when he's got his hair cut short. It's great.
That would definitely make him your favorite.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Are Team Jacob.
No, that was all you. That was all. You know what? I didn't like either one of them. What I didn't like is she was in a committed relationship with somebody else, and he didn't respect that.
Anytime you want to get under Jason's skin, just bring up Twilight. It works every time.
So is it just because it was a terrible show and book?
Well, I don't know. Well, you know, I devoted what? How many pages were in that series? A lot of pages. And I read them all. So I devoted a lot of time to that series. And it was just like beating my head against the wall the whole time. And I kept reading it. And so maybe I'm really angry with myself because I kept reading them.
What, like, why did you keep reading them? What kept you? I got to page 30 and I'm just like, I'm out. They were talking on a radio station that they're banning it from high school libraries. And I'm like, good. There are so many like grammar mistakes in this. Kids shouldn't be. I'm like, it's for the content. I'm like, well, that's stupid. But I mean, the grammar's horrible. I don't need that taught to kids.
We should applaud Jason's commitment to the books. He clearly, yes. See, he clearly puts all of his effort into finishing what he starts. And we should appreciate that. However, the rest of us are all like, you know what? Screw it.
Well, Katie does not like sparkly vampires.
I didn't even pick it up. I heard sparkle vampire and passed. I mean, I did, however, I sucked it up and I did read the worst version, which was 50 Shades of Grey. Oh. I mean, I only read a book and a half.
Well, you know what's interesting, Rebecca?
Well, I had a rant I was working on, so I needed fodder for it. So I counted it as research.
Okay. All right.
Also, I didn't purchase the books from a friend, so I couldn't fling them across the room like I really wanted to.
Yeah, you know, my wife read all those.
Those were so bad.
And so she read them, and she was talking to one of her friends about how good they were because they all loved them. Oh, thanks, Artie. I forgive you for cheating on me. She was talking about how much she loved them, and they were talking about how, yeah, but it's, you know, it's like mommy porn, but it's not that hardcore. And I was like, what? Everything I'd heard about these books is like they were really, really bad, really raunchy. Well, I'd never read any kind of erotica before, any written erotica, and so she had me read them and I was like, oh, these are great. And then I read some other books, I was like, wow, those suck, those were the worst. These other books are the best. So, yeah, yep. That's about it. Well, you know, I didn't mind the first 50 Shades of Grey book. I didn't think it was that awful. It was the rest of them that I was just like, eh. Kind of like the Hunger Games. I read the whole Hunger Games series and I really, really liked the first one. And then after that, it just kind of like, eh, you had a good thing. And then it just disintegrated.
A lot of that became repetitive though with the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
I really didn't like the way they kept going back over the whole arena situation. And at the end, they never really solved the problem. They kind of went back to status quo, only under a different regime.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see progress by the end. I don't want to see, you know, return to the norm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that is the message. Through revolution, all we do is put someone else in power that can do the same horrible thing.
And there's the Star Wars message all over again, because if you look at that,
it's change the system, change the head.
Oh, what the hell are we talking about?
Oh, we're just rambling tonight. We weren't going to have a topic.
That we're talking about your porn, Jason.
You know, well, I'll tell you what. You know where they
Thanks,
went wrong.
Katie. You just had to challenge him, didn't you?
Dana has chimed in here. I enjoyed Twilight as the books.
Dana preached.
They were written for teenagers, and as an emo kid teenager, they weren't awful. 50 Shades, won't touch it. I stay away from mainstream novels, except I adored Lord of the Rings and Narnia. But I was a fan of Narnia from the moment I could read. Yes. Who's that, Dana? Is that your wife? Hi, Dana.
I think I know that person. He just turned and put her on camera.
She's like typing away here, and I'm like, what is she doing?
She's got her manifesto. Just put her right behind you, Paul. She can join in too.
I think you're onto something there, Katie, or whoever actually made this genius comment, is that we get tired of reading the same old thing over and over again in whatever series we're reading. After series by Anna Todd was a great series, says Elizabeth Abel.
I'll have to look
I'm
that
not
one up.
Familiar with that series, but I'll put that on the list. But yeah, so anything where we're not getting new good info, we're going to get bored with, like 50 Shades. You know, I think the first book grabbed people because it was the shock value. There was all sorts of crazy stuff going on, but then they just kept doing the same shit for the rest of the books or movies. And it's the same thing with the Hunger Games. And I don't know, I like series, but you know, like take Star Wars, for example. You know, we keep seeing the same type of thing happening over and over again. However, I still love the movies. It all depends on how well they develop those characters and how well they shoot the film, and then I'm gonna love it. Because, you know, yeah, I watched Rogue One knowing the whole story and knowing how it was going to end, but I still loved it because they did such a great job with the characters. Man, there's all sorts of funny comments popping up on here. Oh, her and Julia, gotta put that back up down there. Yes, Julia Allen says, my inner goddess is screaming, no!
Right. I love how you gave voice to that, too.
All right. Excellent, Julia. Have you guys seen the Gilbert Gottfried reading the 50 Shades video?
Oh, my God.
If you haven't.
Oh, my God,
it is
yes.
Amazing.
Oh, it is incredible. I love
and
it.
And it sounds more like reading.
Yes.
All right, that's what I'm looking at when I get off of this.
funny story, Rebecca. He is actually the voice of Iago.
I know, but he still does Iago. You know, he overdoes his normal voice. But wow, that was actually my intro to 50 Shades of.
Yeah.
So I didn't read it until I got a review comparing my book to 50 Shades, saying that my book made it look like Wuthering Heights, and I was like, okay, I know. Yeah, I've heard some bad stuff about it, but I'm gonna read it. And I was like, oh, the bad stuff didn't even kind of cover how bad it was. Okay.
Well, and you know,
then you know, you get to the rape scene, and it's like, okay, I'm done with this whole thing.
Was there a rape scene in there? I don't remember that.
They all play it off as, oh no, it's just BDSM. It's like, no, when there's no safety word, there's no contract, and she says no, that means no. And anything that happens afterwards is so when
I think
he covered her mouth after she said no and had sex with her roommate right there, and she was just too scared to call out, that's rape.
Yeah. In the biz, we call that non.
And right there, all the fun, all the mojo.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez, Rebecca. That was going to be my favorite series, and now you've completely
brought the whole show down.
Ruined it. Oh, man. Well, let's get off of 50 Shades.
What the entire series about is a rapist abuser who stalks and beats a woman and threatens her into being his concubine.
Well, you know, and he's a rapist abuser. It was kind of groomed by another rapist abuser. And so is now, what's her name, mm-hmm. going to be the next rapist abuser down the line? Because this we know this kind of goes down the line when this happens. I can't even remember
her name. Because Anastasia takes her power back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I haven't read them now.
Right. And then, at the end, and you guys know that child's going to be totally fucked.
Oh.
Because he still hangs out with his original pedophile abuser.
Yeah. Well, and oh my God. Yeah. Rebecca, we are not going to spend this time
talking about
50 shades, no matter how badly you want to, because I know that you're really into it, but we're not going to do it. But what is that? Places of Poetry by
Anita. That's Anita's new one, isn't it?
That lady.
I think she's
Anita. Yep. Anita.
Oh, Joe Compton. Joe, what are you talking about? We're not off the rails. What's happening here?
There are no rails, Joe. We're fine.
Yeah. We just put the locomotive on the ground and we're like, go, go, go. Well, Rebecca, since you were so kind as to do something, you know, writerly or publisherly, could you tell us a little bit about that book that you were just holding? Pretty please.
Anita's book?
Yes, Anita's book.
I was actually flipping through. There are different. Let me get to the. She has different types all set up. Can you guys read? No.
Yeah, let's give her a big screen.
So there are different sections. Girl, traveling, the star and moon, the sea, other realms, and unsettled places. Ooh. Because this is Anita. She can take the most mundane and make it awesome. In Memory of Forgotten Love, Reciting by Moonlight. There's some of the first ones.
And these look like words.
And then at the end goes, those are words. You use words and you string them together in a lovely way to make poems.
Hold on, slow down. Jason, did you get all that?
And then she goes to...
What are words?
Unsettled.
So pretty.
That is.
Anita, I hope you don't mind like that.
Is this a Three Furies release?
Light in the Window. Nope. I just, I don't have any Three Furies books around me right now.
Rebecca!
I just got this in the mail yesterday. Well, I don't keep books in here because I chain smoke.
I need to get some books.
So I move all my precious books to the library where they're safe away from the smoke.
Do you know what I have? I actually have sitting over here on my desk is, I actually just picked this up at the library too because I'm rereading it. This is A Weapon of Magical Destruction.
Where'd they get that one? That's cool.
Yeah.
I hear that is really a good book.
You know, and I actually had to wait a few days to get it because all of their copies were checked out. So
what? They were all checked out?
They were all checked out. So that was kind of cool. Yeah. They've got a big display right up in the front lobby there with everybody who's coming in for the summer program. And
so
yeah, they've got really these covers, they're so eye-catching, you know, especially for people who like thrillers or young adult readers, things like that. They're like, oh man, there's good color in there. It looks cool. And
or big yellow stickers.
Yes, yeah. that's the express 7-day or 6-day, 7-day checkout. Yeah.
I've got some stickers I can bring too to put on those.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, shiny. Let's see if I don't have it on that one. Dang it. I have shiny foil stickers.
What do they say?
They say 5-star reader's favorite.
Ooh.
Yeah, nice. I got my review back from reader's favorite. Now, I don't know if you guys know, but reader's favorite, you can either pay to get a review done immediately, or you can just submit a book. And if they review it, they review it, which is always nice. So I submitted it and it was between like 4 and 6 months. I'd actually forgotten about it. And they sent back a 5-star review. And if you've got a 5-star with them, you can qualify to get the cute little stickers, which are always great to have when you do live events.
Yeah, those are awesome. And in fact, Whispers in the Shadow, which used to be Delia, got a 5-star from them. So I was super happy about it. And I lucked out because I'm friends via the interwebs with one of the reviewers. So after I submitted it, I said, hey, you know, I just want to let you know I submitted this. I don't know if there's any way you can weed it out of the slush pile. He was like, yeah, I'll make sure it gets to a reviewer. And it was like 3 or 4 weeks later. I was like, hell yeah. Awesome, man. So yeah, that's cool. It's a good program. And even if you're doing the paid system, I don't think it's terribly expensive, is it?
I don't think so, but I think they also try and sell you on their contest too, which I'm not sure. I know the Alliance of Independent Authors does rate a lot of the contests. I'm not sure if that one's rated by them. There are so many out there that are kind of scammy that I don't really enter a lot of the contests, but I do like to get reviews that qualify as editorial reviews, and Reader's Favorite does qualify for that.
Yeah, and I am with my new collection of short stories.
IBPA, I know, has them rated.
Who does?
IBPA?
Oh, okay.
Independent Book Publishers Association.
Yep. They have a good website for all that. You know, we're Katie, you know, I keep telling you that you've got to not do this anymore, but you really kind of have monopolized the first half an hour of the show here. And we've got guests that we want to introduce. Rebecca, you're not a guest. You're more like family. Paul, tell us a little bit about you. And Dana, don't forget Dana.
So Rebecca was talking earlier about baby. I'm guessing you mean my baby.
I don't know.
Yep. Cassandra is at Grandma and Grandpa's. Tonight was actually date night. And so all the children are gone. It is quiet in the apartment. It's very confusing. But I'm appreciating it immensely. So, yep, there's my lovely bride, Dana.
And so, you guys went to see 50 Shades for date night, you said, right?
Yeah, we went to get some ideas. That's
educational movie.
Do Austin instead. Okay, let's not go there.
We went to see Aladdin, which was my first book is Arabian based, and so I started going through it again. Arabian Nights. I kind of want to skip to.
Wait, hold that up again, man.
That's Barnes.
Gorgeous.
The gold.
Oh my God! Where did you have that done?
It's Barnes and Noble's.
Oh, nice.
Their books are
have so it done.
What? I've never seen an indie author with this badass hardback. Are you not an indie author?
Oh, this isn't mine. I wish.
Oh.
No. Arabian Nights. It's Arabian Nights.
Oh, I thought this was your book.
It's only like 1,000 years old, Jason.
Well, I don't know. Aladdin was like 2,000 years old, and they just re-released it.
It's in here. Aladdin's in here. I kind of want to skip to it. So, but no, my first book, Gadash, like watching it.
Aladdin comes from.
I'm like, I've got all these ideas now for my novel that's already released, so I can't do anything about it.
I'm going to leave this up here. Dana, Paul's wife is trolling hard. For those of you listening to the podcast, Paul's wife says, the wife is an author too. I'm more cool than he is. My books are better too. I mean, they're not published, but I'm cooler. Little tongue sticking out face. I think you better get her on camera when you're done so that we can hear from the cooler author.
And she is my artist. she's actually working on the maps for the second novel right now and a few commissions. So if anyone needs a novel done or a map, there she is. But
like a map for like a graphic map. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet.
So she did the map for Gadesh, which is my region. and she's doing Hurstfjell is the next one, which is Harsh Mountain, more or less. So it'll be fun.
I'm on it, Patricia. Yes.
It'll be awesome.
I have to get the rights from Paul since he wrote it to make sure I can do that.
My other name is Sir Richard Burton. So, yeah. I'm a fantastic translator. No, I write fantasy that is based on ancient myths or even slightly older myths that aren't as prominent in literature. So Arabian literature doesn't show up a whole lot. They have very beautiful, stunning literature. So that's why I took Gadesh and ran with that, is because I just really wanted to, I want to point people toward Arabian Nights. The next one will be Norse. The Norse are just awesome. I love the Norse. The what?
Sign me up for that.
Right?
I love Norse mythology.
She's like, give me some fucking Vikings. That's all Katie's talking about, all right? She's talking about the show. She wants Ragnar.
Oh, they're fantastic. I love them. My wife loves Loki. I think he's a villain, but she likes him. So, that's what the next one will be. And then it'll be India and China and Japan.
How do you feel your books compare to 50 Shades of Grey? As far as quality goes,
it depends what you need at the time. Quality. If you're looking for a book to read, I'd say mine is better. If you're looking for titillation, I would go with 50 Shades. So that's.
Are there any cryptids in it?
Look at that! The like balanced answer. He's so diplomatic.
Yeah, he's like a politician.
Genies. There are genies. So
okay. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, Patricia Annette too is she that would is totally she would read. Yeah. Ooh, Joe's chiming in here. To me, the gods are more interesting than the Vikings in North mythos. Oh, all right. All right. Well,
speaking of the gods,
to me
now,
the monsters
of
are
gods. Let's hear from Jacob. Jacob.
Oh, Jacob. What an intro.
Remember, watch that flannel, buddy. I see it creeping open.
Told you my eyes are up here. Let's see.
Speaking of titillating.
Oh, wait. We've got a great comment from Patricia.
Literary suckfest. Yes. I like that.
50 Shades is a literal suckfest, misogynist abomination. I'm sorry, Patricia. I don't know what your voice sounds like, so I'm giving you a voice.
Tell us how you really feel. I mean, seriously. Don't hold back.
The way my mom described it was that it was a train wreck that she couldn't.
I think that was a fact.
All right, Jacob, how do your books compare to 50 Shades of Grey?
There's actually a reference to it in this book, which is middle grade.
What?
The character says something along the lines of, like, this situation was 50 Shades of Grey. And so I don't know if kids are actually going to understand that, but I was like,
oh, yeah.
I bet you they will.
They understand more than me.
They will.
Yeah, I got beta read that book. I loved it. So tell everyone about it.
Yeah, so this is Roses in the Dragon's Den. It was published about a month ago now, maybe about 2 months now. But it's middle grade, my first real dive into middle grade books, fantasy. And basically it follows two kids, a niece and a nephew of an explorer who takes them camping. And then somewhere along the lines, they end up in kind of a fairy tale world. And he gets kidnapped by a dragon. So the niece and nephew have to go and rescue him. So in his real life, he is basically an adventurer who knows like how to deal with what to do if a bear attacks and like how to find water in the desert and a lot of things like that. And so it's kind of fun to put them in this setting where, you know, there's dragons and werewolves. So nobody knows what to do in that case, but the kids have to figure it out.
Now, when you say middle grade, are we talking kind of fifth, sixth, seventh grade, that area, or what age range?
I would say the 50-yard line is probably about 12 years old. Oh, I think my youngest reader has been 10 so far.
Okay. So, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. I have a 10-year-old at home who's turning 11 soon, and I've been getting books for her that have been advertised as middle grade, and she seems to enjoy them. So I didn't know if there was a recommended age. So,
hey, mm-hmm. Jacob, can you put the cover back on the screen so we can show everyone? Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool?
That is an awesome cover.
It's like 10 times better in person. It's really gorgeous. And you had that done. It's hand drawn, right?
I think so. Yeah. I'm not really quite sure how the artist approached it, but it's Amalia Chitulescu. I don't know if I'm saying her name right, but she does everything by hand, and she's also going to school for architecture right now. So whatever she does for her architecture, I think she weaves that into her covers.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Very cool. So, we have covered our super duper professional introductions of our guests, Katie. Now,
at what, the 30 minute mark? We got 30 minutes to introduce our guests. All right.
I understand we have a very structured program laid out for tonight.
Can't even.
It is a flat open field.
Structure may be like a worn out bra.
Nice.
His face, that was perfect.
Nice. poor Jacob looks shocked over there. He's like, I'm not gonna say anything.
I had to keep going. We're on 50 Shades this whole time. I had to come up with something somewhat racist.
Dude, I'm telling you, Jacob, you are like a spitting image of Adam Sandler in this new movie. Have you guys seen the murder mystery movie on Netflix?
It's on my watch list. I need to watch it.
It's so fun.
It is. I liked it.
I did too. I really, wait, Tog, how did you get down here? Wait, hang on, guys. You got it. Come here.
Uh-oh.
So somehow, someone,
I hate when that happens.
Nope, not a bug.
Someone let Miss Mariana down here. This is Mar. She's actually my co-host for the other podcast.
Aww. But
she typically doesn't just wander the house. Usually there's a door. So apparently she's learned how to open doors just like the raptors, which is scary and awesome at the same time. What were we talking about, Katie?
Nothing. I don't know.
Raptors.
So I'm working on a book, Katie. I'm finally doing my short stories, and Rebecca and her team. What do you call a group of like sorceresses or witches? Is that a coven? Is that what you call it?
Yeah, let's go with coven.
Okay. So the Three Furies Coven is actually going to be publishing it, which I'm super duper excited about. Working on getting some stories finished for her right now that are extra messed up and crazy and scary. And then she goes and tears them all apart with Julia and makes me fix all my mistakes. Mean old editors. But I think it's going to be really cool. Wait, do we do hardbacks as well with gold on the edges of the paper? Because I really would like that.
Technically, yes, we can.
Nice. Now, will you do it by hand? Is that how you make it?
I'm not going to lie. I mean, I could make up one of those.
Now, tell me.
I could do that.
I don't think we've asked before, but Three Furies, what genre do you guys special in?
Specialize or special?
Yeah, that's the word I meant to say, specialize. I can word too, see?
We like to think that we're special in all genres.
What's your favorite genre?
Right now,
romance.
We're mostly
erotica,
fantasy, urban fantasy.
50 Shades.
What we have the most of is, in fact, romance and erotica, because I am re-releasing my entire line, as Jason has found out. So I have 20 something romances and eroticas that I had previously published and pulled when Amazon ate my account and stopped paying me. I pulled all of those.
Wow.
Yeah. When you're selling, this is back when, you know, several iterations ago on KU, when they started making their changes, trying to move towards the page read instead of the book. Mine fell through the cracks, so I was getting paid one penny every quarter for of books read.
Oh my God.
Like literally one penny every time.
That's ridiculous.
So I pulled all my account. Anything I reposted on my account happened the exact same way. And Amazon, they don't really care. So I closed the account, pulled all my books, and now I am running them through the editor. Poor Julia. So Julia is editing all of my books and they are getting pretty annoying back out.
I have to think that.
Yeah, right now we have the majority is romance.
I think that it would be tough to edit that much romance and erotica because it's distracting to read it, and then you're trying
your
to pick out all the detail. Yeah, right. Oh, I got to tell you. So, I was telling you I have that novella that I'm working on for you for the book, and it's one that I have been excited about for the long time, but I've been stuck on a half a dozen scenes, and I've gotten a bunch of them written now. And the two last big scenes that need to be written are both sex scenes. And I used to be able to write sex scenes no problem, but now I'm almost afraid to go into them because I know that it's such a journey just to get through them because you've got to commit yourself completely to it. And so I've just been stalling and stalling and stalling. I'm like, come on, it's a sex scene. It's not a bad thing. I'm not murdering children or anything, but I don't know. I wish that I had some Rebecca Jonesy mojo going on over here.
Yeah. That's what she said.
You know what's kind of funny, guys? Is we've got the dog here, but then over there on the floor, we've got the cat over there on the floor, wondering why the hell the dog is on my lap.
Aww.
Yeah, cat, I don't know why the dog is down here either. All right.
You guys know it's retro. Here's a crotch shot.
Here's a little dog on my lap. Oh, Mari.
I said it was going to end, and I'm kind of thankful.
You see this bottle of pills? This is what happens when you don't have mojo, all right? Thank you, Patricia. Patricia says, ha 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 ha, just recall the best sex you've had. LOL. All right. I hope you like my voice that I've given you, Patricia. I don't actually know.
It changes Patricia? Every time.
Katie, have we had Patricia on?
I don't think so.
Okay. Because if we have and I don't remember you, I'm so sorry, Patricia. I know that we're Facebook friends, but I don't remember anyone. I really don't. And I don't remember meeting Adam Sandler before, but he's here with me on the show and just it's a confusing time in my life. I'm getting old.
Jacob, does that happen to you all the time?
Ever since I was in seventh grade, I think that was the first time I heard it, and I've never seen it, but I get it at least once a week.
You know who I get all the time is David Draiman, who's the singer for Disturbed. I get that a lot, especially when I still rode the Harley and I had my leather jacket on all the time, looking all like I was tough. So people would just look at me funny and they're like, "Are you that guy?" And if I could pull off the wah-ah-ah thing, I totally would. And I would have blown freaking minds. They would have been like,
keep practicing at it. You can do it.
You need to practice that. Yeah. We have faith in you, mate.
You can do it.
You should practice right now.
Elizabeth Abel says, I thought sex was a guy thing. I'll tell you what, Elizabeth, thank you, because I think that this needs to be a little bit of a conversation here because we have three male authors. We have two female authors. We both read lots and lots of books and most of us have written a fair few books. How do we feel about that? Do you think that sex, writing sex is a guy thing? Do you think it's a girl thing? Do you think one sex does it better? What do you think?
I think my wife does it better.
I think that is a sexist stereotype.
Yeah, I can't say one does it better than the other, although I have known quite a few male authors that pull it off really well.
I would much rather read. I would much rather read things written by my women
she said,
than
pull it off.
Oh, I totally missed that, Katie. Good job, Katie.
She's like, "Put that on purple." Oh my god.
Oh, Kate, look, her face is almost as red as that hair now. That's good. No, I like sex scenes by female authors. I do. I think there's a little bit more emotional connection and less just dirty slang. And I think that with male authors, you get a lot of more dirty slang and less emotion. But that's just my experience. And yep, and that's
Dave Wilson.
Yeah, and I've read Wilson's, and his is pretty dirty, almost as dirty as Safety Ropes. That's a pretty good one.
I have only read.
Say, should I tell one. You now that you actually haven't read my dirty stuff yet? Like
really?
You haven't read Melissa's Men. You haven't read Ars to Pay.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, my email is open and waiting.
You haven't even made it through the first series yet, dude.
my psychic.
But clearly, you've got a fan.
Patricia says, "My psychic BFF says a lot of male erotic authors. Oh man, I forgot to do your voice. Live in their parents' basements and smell." All right. Okay. All right. We'll take that up with Wilson and see where he lives.
We got to get him back on the show.
All right.
In news that I doubt surprises anyone, I read a lot of erotica, and honestly, between the guys, between the male authors, the actual elite male authors, and the actually female authors, I mean, it's kind of the same.
Hmm.
Some are good, some are bad, some write emotionally, some don't.
Okay. Interesting.
And, you know, let's not forget, there is still a stigma of guys can't write sex scenes. Hmm. So they will write under female pen names.
Yeah, I do.
And no one can tell the difference.
I've got to go track down a dog. You guys carry on.
Uh-oh, he lost his dog.
Gone.
Wilson, he's one of the ones that does the same thing. He writes under Wilson, which is a pen name, but he also has a female pen name that he writes under as well. And I believe last time I talked to him, he said the female pen name is doing much better. So there is that bit of stigma where people want to read erotica from somebody who's perceived to be a woman writing it. Although as a male writer, he does a great job.
I have only read one romance / erotica novel, and I got about 100 pages in, and I learned a lot about suspense. And I learned a lot about describing nipples.
Suspense or suspension?
I'm like, I never realized you could devote an entire paragraph to them. So, but otherwise I'm actually kind of prudish on that. I aside from Martin, I kind of avoid the erotica.
Fair enough. It's not for everyone.
Yeah.
I
think of any
yeah, I mean, it's art. So
that's kind of
you,
where I am anyway. I don't.
Yeah,
really
you read what you like. That's it.
Yeah,
I get into a thing where I like sex scenes in books, and especially, I mean, I like them in my books. And so somebody had asked me if I was a prude. I'm definitely not. But I always worry that I'm not representing the situation well enough. So I always will go back through and be like, man, did I do enough or did I do too much? Did I go too far? Did I not go far enough? So I don't know. I get really wishy-washy on them, and that it bums me out.
If
but I guess that's
for you need a second opinion.
You never do or you always do?
I'm here for you, man.
Oh,
if you need one. I'll totally beta read that for you.
Well, you're one of my editors now, so that you're on the job. This next one I'm sending you has some naughty stuff in it.
See, and I haven't written under the pen name in a while.
I was gonna say, so far you haven't said.
Yeah,
time to get back to it.
Yeah, the life of pet.
Dip your fingers in again.
And see if I can really pull it off this time. For a second dip on Katie's joke and it just fell flat. Sorry. I'm sorry.
I think there's a little
get your quill wet.
Have you guys seen the movie Quills?
Anybody? No.
Never heard of it.
I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, but it's Jeffrey Rush and... Oh, wait, hang on. I'll continue this after I read this message from Dana De La Woods. Ooh, Dana of the Woods. I like it. Sex should be emotional. I don't care what shape the body is or what they look like. I want to know how they feel in the moment, their connection to each other.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well done. Well done. Yep. Well done.
I feel like I just learned something about my wife.
Well, that's why she's sending these messages, buddy. I hope you're saving them.
Apparently, your educational video you watched before during date night wasn't good enough.
Well, next time, just cry in the middle. It wonders. Just start crying and say it's because I just love you so much. Oh, Patricia. Look at Patricia Annette says, Jason, you are overthinking. You are a great word crafter. Just be present in the scene. Oh, she makes me feel so. And I forgot to do her voice again. Next time, Patricia. Next time. Oh, no, but Rebecca.
Next time, you're going to be Scottish.
That's. Oh, I can't. Ooh, I can't
you do
it.
Scottish no. accent?
Don't
you? I've been talking to Pippa and Mike, and thank you for the recommendation. I love those two, they are my new favorites. And I just love listening to them talk. I'm like, just pretend I'm not here. Okay. Just keep talking to each other. You guys are the best.
Have you had them on together?
I haven't had them on together. I had Pippa on to do a solo show, and then I'm going to have Mike on to do a solo show. And then they're both going to be on Spilling Ink later this summer. Oh, and Katie.
Oh,
I've got some
together.
Yeah, it's going to be good. We are going to be having on Pippa Bailey, Mike Pilgrim, and Michael Brent Collings, I believe, in August. And it is the Bald is Beautiful special. We are all bald guys with little goatees. And so Pippa has a bald cap, and I'll be sending you a bald cap as well, just so that you know. Now you're in the loop.
All right.
Oh, I don't know what we were talking about.
Is it going to be another one of those episodes like when we had Thomas on?
Bring your hair around and like pin it right here.
I like
it. So you can have a little goatee.
Little red goatee.
Future cosplay for the next Comic-Con.
There you go. There you go. Anything to sell books.
So, do any of you get into like the Harry Potter erotica or anything like that? Because that's a big thing too, isn't it?
Fanfics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not big on fanfic.
No. Okay. I just saw someone posted a live video, and I wish I could remember her name. She was just releasing a book of poetry, and her little video was about how, you know, this is the kind of, you know, erotica she likes to read, and don't judge me for it because you like this or this or like 50 Shades crap. But then that made me think, huh, I bet Rebecca knows all about this Harry Potter erotica. No? Nothing? All right, fine.
That was a want to talk about it. It's so gross. Because, I mean, let's all stop and think. Okay, who's Harry Potter? Who are his friends? And how old are they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're adults. It's like the whole book. It's like the whole Arya Stark scene at the season 8 of Game of Thrones. She is an adult. She has murdered how many freaking people, and you're cringing because she dropped her shirt? Seriously? She's an adult now.
Isn't she like 22 or 23? Something.
And how many people has she slaughtered? And we're okay with her slaughtering people, but oh, God forbid she took her shirt off. Nope, we draw the line right there.
But I found that at a writer convention that I went to. Someone's like, hey, will this be okay for my like 12-year-old? I'm like, well, it gets a little bit bloody and maybe a little gory depending on where you're. She's like, no, that's fine, but is there any sex?
See?
That's fine, but is there any cursing? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. Like, you want to explain intestines being removed? That's fine, but is there sex? That's, yeah. Yeah, that is a huge issue people have.
I don't understand it. And I didn't understand it when people were screaming about it during Game of Thrones either. I'm like, yeah, she was a kid. We were all kids once. She's an adult now.
I was never a kid, ever.
Well, it depends on what age the character is that you're writing the fanfic. Like, are you writing about them when they're 16, 17, 18? Or are you writing about them when they're 13?
And that's a...
Because if you're writing a fanfic that it's, sex, and there's 13-year-old Ron and 13-year-old Harry getting it on.
But now if they're
that always happens,
orers, in the Ministry of Magic doing their thing, that's fine. They're adults if they're written as adults.
Well, are you allowed to write about underage kids having sex? I mean, isn't that a thing that you can't do or
with each other, correct?
In young adult books, there's that
and
weird
it's fanfic.
Line.
It can't be published anyway.
Oh, okay. So this must be like a Wattpad kind of thing that she was talking about.
But okay. Even Wattpad should have a TOS that says that's not okay. I've been to less savory sites that is not okay. And they're okay with a lot of weird stuff.
Elizabeth is saying, a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old having sex together.
That's why young adult is kind of that weird line where, people are asking, well, is there sex in it? There might be in young adult books and that becomes the deal breaker. But what I find interesting though, is that you can have a book that doesn't have sex in it, but it has all kinds of violence and that's okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because, well, yeah,
we don't put them in the same categories as taboos. You can have somebody slaughtering whole nations and it's war. You have somebody have sex and it's, no,
I was...
no, my precious little cherub can't read this.
I was told that I might want to think about marketing Moss and Clay as a young adult. I'm like, there's a siren going around eating the guts out of people. Like, it's pretty blatant. And like, oh no, that's fine. Wait, a siren? Is she having sex? Because that's no.
Hold on. Yeah. Wait, are there clothes
so
involved?
Eating humans alive is good. Yeah.
Well, it's this whole thing.
Well, she actually eats the soft tissues, so.
Oh,
there are sex organs involved.
That's it. Crosses the line. Can't do it.
Well, and it's this whole demonizing of our
sexuality. That was a period.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were totally fine with her eating out the stomach and the liver and the spleen.
Oh, this is a good question.
Oh, no. Wait, she went lower than that? No.
Hold on. Here's a really good question because the young adult age range is so wide now. What do we say is a typical young adult book? What is the range for that?
As far as content, or are you looking for a specific book?
As if we say something is a young adult book, what age ranges should that be acceptable to read?
Well, if I'm saying young adult, I'm saying like 13 to 18, somewhere in that neighborhood. And I will not 13 to 17. And I won't put any kind of sex or even implied sex at all in a young adult book that I've written. And I've written two that I considered in that age range. And there'll be a couple of F words, but no sex whatsoever, just because it's such a funny area. And not that I agree that showing violence is okay and showing sex is not, because if anything, sex is a good thing and violence is a terrible thing. It should be the opposite, but it's not a that's a swamp I don't want to go wading into. That's for other people to go mess, play around in. But yeah, you know, 13 to 17, 13 to 18, somewhere in there. And, you know, just figure if you've got a little bit of swearing, some violence, no frickin' sex. But at the same time, you know, where was it? Elizabeth Abel had said, you know, 16-year-olds are having sex. You know, I've got a 17-year-old daughter, and I know she was sexually active in the last year, and I don't have a problem with that. Now, that doesn't mean that I want tons of sex in my kids' books, but, you know, it's a weird thing. You know, how do we write books that are appealing to high school kids if they are experimenting with sex or drugs and seeing violence out in the world, but we don't necessarily want to give them porn to read either? So how are we responsible?
Keep it non-explicit.
Yeah. You know, show that there can be love, there can be sex, but we're
going to give them the sword, but dull the edges.
Yeah.
Also, if they are readers, and I'm sure you guys can attest to the same thing.
I agree.
If you're teenagers, you're going to read what you're going to read, and you're not necessarily picking from the young adult stock of books. I was reading Anne Rice at 14, which I would be shocked as hell if my daughter was reading the same thing, but that's what I wanted to read at that point. And so, you know, there's a lot more in there than what would be considered acceptable for young adult standards. But I was okay reading that. And as I recall reading from that age group, I kind of glossed over all of the sex parts. I was more interested in the vampires and what they were doing. So it really just didn't faze me at all.
Well, and I remember noticing probably when I was in, sixth, seventh grade or so. And because I read a lot of Piers Anthony books, and his were all high fantasy, but he's one of those fantasy authors that we joke about doing a lot of ponytail tugging and a lot of suggestive things. And I remember noticing that, okay, why are we using the word panty so much? And why are we always talking about buxom and this and that? And I'm like, okay, there's something going on here. I don't really understand what it is yet, but I got there. Man, I got there.
Isle of Man.
I have, and of woman. Yep. So, and you know, I was always very entertained by him. You know, he's an entertaining author. I'll give him that. He gave me a lot of fun reads, but yeah. What the hell is going on here, Katie? We kind of everything
this,
kind
this
of
is exploded. The 50 Shades of I don't know what episode.
That's the name of the episode.
You had Rebecca Downey on. What did you expect?
That's true. I should have expected it right from the start. We need a good title for this. What are we calling this one, Jason?
50 Shades of Grey.
No, we can't use that. That's the actual book title. We need something else.
No, Cray.
Cray. C-R-A-Y.
Are we stealing that from Jacob?
Yeah. Yes, we are.
That's what we're going to call it, 50 Shades of Grey.
Paul, is Dana still over there? Dana De La Woods? Hey, Dana, what's your thought on this young adult and sex and violence?
Posted something. Hold on. Did you see that?
I didn't see it. Nope, no violence. I don't want violence. You kept looking away from 300 the other night?
I did, yeah.
She
did.
Oh, it's so good.
You watched
I'll tell you what. Have you guys seen 300 Rise of an Empire?
No.
That is, the movie is not as good as the first 300.
Oh.
At all, but there's a super duper duper hot scene between lead male character and Eva Green in it, and it is that's the only reason for watching the movie.
So, I've heard the name of Beowulf.
Beowulf? the poem or the movie?
The only reason to watch it is for the sex scene. Even though it's CGI.
Nice.
No, I don't care for violence. I'd rather not watch that.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Thank you for 50 Shades of Ink. All right.
This has definitely been an interesting episode. See what happens when we go in with no topic and we just let Jason just have his way.
What? Why are you putting it on me? It was Rebecca from the start. With her murder map with 50 Shades of Murder.
I want to talk about cryptids.
Oh, well, we are coming to the end of our
You guys didn't even let me finish about the cryptids.
Oh, well, you know what? All right. People, we're going into overtime here because we want to hear a little bit more about the cryptids of the USA. Rebecca Jonesy, take it away.
Thanks, guys. So, yeah, as you can see, I have them all nicely lined out here. The purple is my cryptids, and the yellow, legends. Some of them are ghost stories. Some of them are hauntings. Some of them are portals to hell. Because apparently the United States has three different portals to hell. So, them are in the southeast. Very confusing to me. I figured there'd be at least one in Florida, right?
Florida.
Is there one in Nevada?
Most of the cryptids have actually been disproven. Huh?
Is there one in Nevada?
Yes. Two in Nevada.
Portals to hell?
Wait, there's like three portals total and two of them are in
Nevada? Oh, the portal to hell?
Tucson.
I think there's only one portal to hell in Nevada. Yeah. It's not considered a portal to hell. It's the door to hell. That's where Satan comes out to dance and play.
Great. Even better.
Yeah. It is a storyline very much like coming from Underhill. He comes out and like plays music and tries to get people to follow him down.
And that's in the Calico Mountains, right?
Fuck.
No, I don't think so. I don't know where the Calico Mountains are. I know it's at a lake.
Water? We don't know what water
is. I'm guessing I know where Katie lives now.
Yeah. How do you not know? I've only said it like a million times. Straight up Sin City.
Also, did you guys know that there is actually a cryptid in the United States that is literally named Big Bird?
What?
His name is Big Bird.
Aww.
He's in Texas.
What do we have in Michigan?
Everything's bigger in Texas.
Which is, you know, the entire area west of there has the stories. Do you guys know what the Thunderbirds are?
Ah!
I'll give you a hint. It is not related
to... Oh.
Oh!
But yeah, a lot of these are regional. And I just put them where I wanted so that I can get one in each state.
That's pretty cool.
What about Michigan?
And of course, you know, they're like, this entire section is that entire section stopping just before Michigan is Wendigos. And then, of course, there's Chupacabra. There's Thunderbirds. And then, of course, you have all the swamp monsters over here and all the lake monsters up there.
So are you writing about the cryptids then?
Yeah. Each one of these tags is going to be a book.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Kind of like how Supernatural goes around.
Once I get them up.
Yeah.
Once I get the reds up, the reds are going to be creepypasta. So there's going to be Slender Man. There's the Black Eyed Children. There's the Rake. He's probably going to be Georgia, I think. Because the Rake is around in this area usually.
Have you heard about the crappy pastas?
You mean like the ones over at Olive Garden?
When I was talking to Pippa and Mike, they kept talking about crappy pastas, and I'm like, are you guys trying to say creepy pastas, only you're from the UK so you can't actually say that word? They're like, no, they are creepy pastas that we write to make them crappy. And I'm like, okay. Cool.
Books. I have their books. Yes, I am a big fan of both of them.
Yeah, they're
I actually spent all day I didn't spend all day because it was really fast, but I spent Christmas morning reading their Christmas book.
I can't wait to meet these people.
Brilliant. I loved it.
Oh my God. Pippa is like Amy Pond. You are going to just die when you talk to her. She's fantastic.
Awesome. Awesome.
She's so cool. So, all right. Well, we've got to wrap.
Yeah, you guys are going to have a lot of fun.
Yes, time to head off to the bar. I think Joe's bar starts in about an hour.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yes. I've got to cut my hair. It's getting a little too long.
Well,
and Heather wants to go and take a couple pictures of her and I tomorrow. I'm like, why? What? Why?
Together, you guys are so cute.
That's how I feel about them too.
Well, when you marry a professional photographer, you kind of do whatever the hell she tells you to. So, yeah, that's just the way.
You don't have a choice.
No, you don't. You don't. All right, Katie, you wanna roll us out tonight?
I don't know. Are you gonna derail my train of thought?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, if anyone out there has still followed after the train completely derailed, thanks for hanging out with us this week. We will be back again next week with some more authors to introduce you to. I think next week we've actually got a world builder who started up his own indie game, which is going to be really awesome to talk to him.
Is it Ed Willett?
No, Levi Davis. Yeah, Jacob knows who he is.
I know Levi,
He's out of Tucson. And he's got a really, really cool game to talk to us about and the world that he created, which is absolutely massive. So that'll be next week. And of course, as always, every Saturday night, check us out here. And if you missed the live cast, we'll have it over on our YouTube account shortly and our podcast after that. Thanks for watching. Bye, guys.
Bye.
All right. I pushed the big